You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 7 on The Morning Show, what's in the new pandemic economic relief bill and what does it mean for you? Kate Archer-Kent and her guests break down the new spending, and you can join in with your questions and reactions. That's tomorrow morning at 7 here on the Ideas Network. Now, many people have found themselves drifting away from the three-meal-a-day format as daily routines have changed. This could be because you're choosing to eat when you're hungry rather than when your schedule allows. You're eating more snacks or smaller, more frequent meals. Or maybe what you're doing is what our next guest has called the big meal, which is what it sounds like, one big meal. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you found your eating habits changing over the last year? Do you have more flexibility to eat when you're hungry rather than just when you have time? Or are you fitting in meals when you can around, say, helping your kids learn from home? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Amanda Mull is a staff writer at The Atlantic covering health. She wrote the piece, "There's no real reason to eat three meals a day." Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, in your piece, Amanda, you say people are taking this in a lot of different ways. What are some of the most common changes you're seeing for people who have shaken up their daily eating routines?
In my research, it seems like people are changing in a couple different ways, depending on the structure of their lives now. Personally, I, before the pandemic, was always a big three-meal-a-day eater, like since childhood. It was always a pattern I felt really natural about. I never questioned it, nothing. But I, being a person who lives alone in an apartment, who has to feed myself, but only me, you know, I sort of get to call all the shots and make all the decisions about my daily eating habits. And so what I have noticed and what other people in similar situations have noticed is that, you know, doing all that prep work and all of those dishes, you know, without being able to split that work with anybody is kind of a lot. So a lot of people who live by themselves have gone the route I have where, you know, at first I went from three meals to two meals. And then I was sick of doing those dishes too for that second meal. And I wasn't really that hungry because you're not moving around a whole lot. I live in New York, so I've stopped walking as much as I used to before the pandemic. So I really only wanted one meal. So I just did that. And there's nobody here to tell me they're hungry and that they need to eat more. So it's fine. And I just eat snacks the rest of the day. And then for people who have kids, you know, things can go in a lot of different directions, depending on how old your kids are, depending on, you know, if you're working from home full time or just part of the time or not working from home at all. But kids, you know, require a little bit more structure than people like me who live by themselves. So people I talked to had, you know, found opportunities to not necessarily cook more, but cook different things. If you're home part of the week while your son or daughter is learning online, then maybe you put something in the oven a couple hours before you would normally be able to do it. Maybe you put something in the crock pot. Maybe you make a soup. So there's just like a lot of opportunity to do like little tasks throughout the day if you're at home. And then I also talked to one woman whose children are getting a little bit older and one of them is in middle school. And because she's been at home and she likes to cook, she has sort of been able to, you know, get in the kitchen with her eldest son, who has shown a lot of interest in cooking. And now he makes lunch sometimes if he has time in his break from Zoom school. Sometimes he makes lunch for her. So she told me that she really valued the fact that she had gotten to have that in-person time with him that she wouldn't have had otherwise. So it really just depends on what the needs of your household are and how your day-to-day has changed. And those things determine how you're eating now, probably.
And you write, Amanda, maybe some of us feel weird about the ways our eating has changed, but you grew up with three meals a day. So do I. That's usually my weekday routine, even now. There's nothing automatic in human biology that says three meals a day is the optimal way to go, right?
Right. For pretty much everybody alive in America right now, the three-meal-a-day thing has never really been questioned on a cultural level. It's what we grew up with. It's what our parents did. It gets reinforced over and over again in popular culture, in, you know, messages about health that we get from media. So when I started to change, when my eating habits started to sort of change on their own, I got a little bit worried that I was doing something that was sort of inherently unhealthy for me, and that maybe it would be worth it for my sanity or my physical health and all of this to like force myself to eat more times per day or to have more distinct meals instead of just snacks here and there when I'm hungry. So I talked to a food historian about this, and what she told me is that our 3-meal-a-day standard is pretty much a result of industrialization. And specifically, lots of people who would have worked at home, on farms, in the house, getting conscripted into more formalized types of labor, where people leave the house and go to a factory, they go to an office, they go to, you know, any of the workplaces that a lot of us have been missing in the past year. So, and that really starts to accelerate around the time that you get a lot of food industrialization. So you've got this new set of products, and a lot of them are being marketed for breakfast for workers leaving the house early in ways that they didn't used to. And a lot of those tend to be sort of cold and small and nutritionally hollow, cereal, instant oatmeal, things like that. They don't get you very far during the day. So when people worked more in and around their homes, whether it was, you know, agrarian, whether it was people, you know, making things to sell in the workshop out back, things like that, they usually ate 2 large meals per day. Now you've got breakfast foods that are marketed as such for the first time that don't get you very far during the day. And then you have to leave the house. So you've got breakfast and then, you know, middle of the day, you're hungry again. So you eat lunch. And then by the time you get done with work and commute home, you're hungry a third time, which brings us to the idea of 3 meals a day that we're so used to. But for the vast majority of human history before we developed cornflakes, it just wasn't what humans did.
We're talking to Amanda Mull, staff writer at The Atlantic, about how our eating habits have changed during the pandemic. Have yours, has your meal schedule changed? Do you eat different numbers of meals, more snacks, fewer snacks? A lot of people doing it in different ways. Or have you stayed the course? Are you a three squares a day person then and now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Amanda, even when I'm, you know, kind of setting my own schedule, I don't know, in some ways I build my day at work or at home, whatever, around those mealtimes. So it isn't so much the nutritional requirements as, I don't know, some kind of ritual requirement for me or something. I don't know. Is that normal or am I the weird one there?
No, I think that that is normal too. And I think that what people are doing right now and balancing the sort of functional differences of the last year versus the psychological needs that we have. And if meals are like a good way to mark time for you during the day, and you don't mind doing the manual labor of cooking for yourself 3 times a day, or if you have people at home to split that labor with, or if you're going into work and your life is a little bit more normal than people who are stuck at home still, then I think that that's totally fine. If that is satisfying to you physically or psychologically, then I think that you should do that. And I think that the thing that I have learned in the past year about food is that just find what is physically and psychologically satisfying to you and do that.
And some of us worry about that. I mean, food in normal times, people get stressed out. Am I eating the right thing? Am I eating the right amount of stuff? Do you worry that as we shake up our routines, even if it's in ways that aren't harmful, that we're still going to stress out and freak out about it even more?
I think that we have sort of been encouraged as Americans to worry about our diet in ways that we don't necessarily have solutions for. I talked to a dietitian for this article, somebody who specializes in eating disorders in low-income patients. So someone who sees a lot of very genuine psychological and practical problems with eating on a day-to-day basis. And what she told me is that between sort of the extremely lucrative diet industry in this country and the extremely lucrative processed food industry, you have a lot of sort of messaging in the world, in media, about eat this, not that, eat this many times a day, eat these types of things, eat certain mixtures of carbs and dairy and protein and fats. And what she told me, in that she said that what she tells her clients is that if you listen to your body, if you don't force yourself into a routine that feels unnatural to you, if you don't force yourself to eat when you're not hungry just because you think you need to eat a certain number of times a day, a lot of this sort of comes out in the wash. If you can find circumstances in which what you're doing feels like it's a response to something your body is telling you and not a response to the signals you get from outside of yourself, then that goes like a really long way to ensuring that whatever you're eating, whatever mixture of things you're eating, and however it varies day to day, is a solid mixture of things for you.
We're talking to Amanda Mull, staff writer at The Atlantic, about a recent piece about our pandemic eating habits and how they have changed over the last year for a lot of people, including for many, a venture away from the 3 meals a day routine. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you changed your eating routine in your day? Have you gone with the one big meal plan? Regular snacking? Do you cook more, cook less? What's taking the place of restaurants for you? Is it restaurant takeout or more cooking or more prepared foods? What has this year in eating looked like for you? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Amanda Mull, staff writer at The Atlantic. We're talking about how our food and mealtime habits have changed during the pandemic. You can join in, if you'd like, at 800-642-1234. Have you stayed the course? Have you worked to make sure you keep up your regular eating routine? Or have you gone through a big change of some sort, from the one big meal theory or to, you know, my weekend favorite, brunch and dinner? I stick with 3 meals a day during the weekday usually. How about you? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Surprised not getting calls on this. I think, I don't know, maybe we're all staying the course here in Wisconsin and not changing anything. And Amanda, I guess that's probably true for some people. Not everybody's out there shaking up the way they eat. A lot of people, of course, still going to that factory or office.
Right. There's a lot of people out there whose day-to-day life has not changed a ton at this point. There's a lot of people who have been asked to return to work, a lot of people who didn't get to leave work in the first place at the beginning of the pandemic to quarantine. So I would imagine that for those people, a lot of their routines have stayed the same, with the exception of maybe some differences in how they eat during the workday, because I know that here, if you commute into Manhattan, if you did that before the pandemic, a lot of the places that you ate lunch in the really office heavy areas of the city are not there anymore because they went without business for so long. So there are functional aspects to how one eats and how many times a day one eats that exist outside of the home, of course.
And you write, Amanda, that there are class differences in the changes we've had during the pandemic. So for some people, we might be subscribing to fancy, high-end things. Some people might be learning to cook new things. Some people might be struggling to figure out how they can afford food or lining up at a food bank.
Yes, it's really important to highlight this. I think millions of Americans who previously were able to buy groceries and feed themselves and feed their families have become food insecure in the last year, have a hard time getting groceries, have to go to food banks, as you said. A lot of people have lost wages. Those wages have not come back for a lot of people. So for people in that situation, you have to figure out how to feed everybody on a really stingy budget and in ways that perhaps in, you know, in your previous life, you never had to deal with. So there's been a learning curve there for sure. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you can afford all of the bells and whistles and delivery you want, maybe you've spent the last year eating takeout from every restaurant in your neighborhood or something like that. Maybe you've ordered a bunch of fancy meal kits. Maybe you have bought full new sets of cookware to try recipes on your own. There is a whole continuum of experience depending on your economic and social conditions.
Well, now we've got some callers. Let's go to Jay in Green Bay. Jay, hello.
Hey, how's it going there?
Good. What do you want to tell us about, Jay?
Oh, pandemic pandemonium in the kitchen. I love cooking, and I went all out and made probably about 7 or 8 different Thanksgiving whole full meals. And I love cooking. And Thanksgiving is, one of my favorite meals to cook. I mean, more guests the merrier, as far as I was concerned. And it was just uncontrollable, though. And I have depression big time, and the extra cooking probably helped calm down the depression.
Interesting.
I was just gobbling up Thanksgiving all through the year.
Awesome. Jay, thank you so much for sharing that. And Jay, I think an experience a lot of people had, Amanda, cooking as a mental health practice.
Yes, this is definitely something I've done a lot over the past year. I think cooking can really be great for people who are struggling with feelings of depression, feelings of anxiety. Because it's a tactile thing. It's something that requires you to stand up, move around, put your phone down, get your hands dirty, literally and figuratively. And then you get this beautiful thing at the end, this beautiful physical result of your work. And then you get to eat it, which is great. So I think that tasks like that, that involve people doing stuff with their hands, doing stuff that gets them up and moving around their homes, is really, really helpful for a lot of people in that situation. I think that is also why we've seen a big rise in baking. And then baking is also something that you can share with other people. So if you've got friends in the neighborhood that you haven't seen in a little while, or that you have been thinking about, or that you just want to show some care to because they're going through a tough time, you know, bake something, keep half of it for yourself, give half of it to a friend. It's like a nice little bit of connection in all of this.
Jay, thanks for the call. And I do endorse Thanksgiving whenever you want to make it. We'll go to Mike now in Madison. Mike, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What was your change, Mike?
I've been working remotely for, just about a year now since the pandemic. And I have never really been much of a breakfast guy since I was a kid. But I was doing lunch. And since the pandemic, I've really just having the one large meal, generally relatively late at night, to be honest. But I'm really enjoying doing the cooking and all that once I got kind of over the annoyance and sort of trepidation of going to the grocery store and having to do all the wipe down of everything when I get mm-hmm. back. I've enjoyed it, and I've actually lost quite a bit of weight on it. So I've been kind of doing that and basically just cooking all my own stuff aside from the occasional junky delivery pizza or whatever it might be.
It sounds good, Mike. Do you snack during the day, or are you just saving it all up for the big meal at night?
I kind of save it up for, at most, I'll kind of have a glass of V8 or something like that during lunch, but oftentimes just tea. And then kind of, I know emotionally it kind of gives me the free range to kind of almost be gluttonous at night on that one meal because I'm really kind of saving all my calories for that one time frame.
Interesting, Mike. Thanks a lot. So there is a fellow big meal advocate for you, Amanda.
Right. And something that he mentioned is that, you know, sort of reconfiguring how you think about meals. If you're someone who is doing a lot of the cooking for yourself, sort of focusing on one meal a day, and whether you're eating snacks the rest of the day or not is up to you, but it gives you the opportunity to make something a little nice for yourself, to really focus on making a beautiful meal, whether it's a pasta or, you know, cooking yourself a steak or something like that. Since you're not constantly working three times a day in order to feed yourself all these separate meals, you can put all that effort into one thing and get sort of maximum benefit out of that.
Thanks a lot for sharing that, Mike. In our last minute, Amanda, you are on the big meal schedule for the most part. Do you anticipate that you're going to stick with it even when life is back to quote unquote normal?
You know, I think I'm going to try to stick with it as much as I can, because the reality of having to commute to and from work, that's an hour each way for me usually. So it means that I can't have my sort of like mid-afternoon cooking experience that I've been having these days. But I think that there's ways around that. And I think that now that I know that this feels natural and this feels good for me, there's maybe some planning I can do to make that a little bit easier. So I'm going to try to. It's less expensive too.
Amanda, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amanda Mull is a staff writer at The Atlantic covering health. She wrote the piece, "There's No Real Reason to Eat Three Meals a Day." We've got a link up to that at WPR.org/Central Time. And you can keep sharing your stories of how your food habits have changed during the pandemic, if at all. You can do that at the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, the COVID relief bill passed by Congress includes child tax credits aimed at boosting the economy and tackling poverty. A Wisconsin poverty researcher joins the show for a look at the plan and what it could mean. And COVID-19 vaccines are coming out faster and faster, but what about people who are afraid of needles? A guest offers advice to help them get the life-saving injection. That and more tomorrow on Central Time.